What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time.
You want to be
loving the fun.
You want to see all of the excitement. This is the place and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The best of the big leagues.
You wanna be
loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Hey, baby, welcome to Monday morning here on 96.5 The Fan. Heart out. On that song.
Always
every time.
A heart out on heart that out. Song. Yeah.
No, but happy Monday to all of you. Welcome to the new week as we power through the summer. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Mac, Bob, hope you guys had a good
weekend. Good weekend. Yeah, awesome. Good weekend. 12:30 soccer game on Saturday was wonderful. We got to love that. Woo. Perfect timing. The kids played, but perfect the current timing. Couldn't, right? How come the kids are out there playing soccer all day, but the current game was suspended for 3 hours? And I'm not saying the current should have been playing. I'm looking at you, kid rec league people. Like, what are we doing out here?
Yeah,
going on? We delayed a professional women's soccer game for 3 hours because it was too hot. 12:30, get out there playing that turf, kid.
You'll be all right.
Well, that was a debacle, too. People were very upset about
well,
that
of course.
Thing, yeah.
I mean, you
Gold was pissed.
Well, I mean, of all people to be there, he's going to be heated through Thursday. I promise you.
Literally.
That dude will be heated through Thursday on all of this. But you know it's not. I mean, Vinny Pasquantino had to leave the game on Saturday because of heat-related injuries. And we were out there. We're like, what the hell's going on with Vinny? Why is he leaving the game early? And then they talked about how hot and humid it was. And he's a Major League Baseball player, right? We delayed the women's soccer game for 3 hours. And yet, kiddo, everywhere across the metro are running around on turf fields like it's nobody's business, right? So I thought that was bizarre over the weekend. But other than that, no, really good weekend. We went out to the game on Saturday, had some fun out there with the kiddos and baseball and concerts and all that kind of stuff. So good weekend. You guys have a good one? I hope you guys had a good weekend, too, because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. It's week zero now in the NFL, and Binkley won't be leaving the couch for the next 6 months, right?
Yeah, college football this Saturday?
Yeah, college football this Saturday. Woo. It's the first game of the year. It's K-State versus Iowa State in Dublin. I hope a lot of people are going to that game, by the way. Total sidebar. We don't talk much about the college game, but Kansas State and Iowa State in Dublin, Ireland. Like, if you're a K-State fan, I hope you get to go. I hope you're doing that trip. That's an outstanding, fun trip
that would be really
to be able to take. I'd love to go watch the Chiefs play overseas. I think that's kind of a bucket list item to do something, you know, of that nature. So I hope there's a lot of K-Staters that are getting the opportunity to make that trip. And if you are, I'm jealous as hell. Man, that's really cool to be able to do that.
Well, our boss says we should always plan for the future. They do play in Australia next year.
K-State does?
No, but the Chiefs will.
Oh, the Chiefs. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Hey, boss.
Yeah.
Send us down under. I want to go watch the Chiefs. That'd be a great time.
That would be a lot of fun.
Incredible. You guys are going to go to the Super Bowl this year, but you're going to go to Australia. Sweet.
Do you think they'll play that same Friday that we're playing in like 19 days from now or 18 days from now or whatever
probably.
It is that we're looking at, right? Like that first Friday, the opener down in Australia, because you're going to have to give yourself a lot of time to get down there and get acclimated, right? It's like a 17, 18-hour flight from L.A. So we're talking a long, long time to get down there. We'd probably have to go down, what, 2-3 weeks ahead of time to kind of get acclimated and then stay 2-3 weeks afterwards, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, near the beach. We have to go see the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
So you would hope
stuff,
that the game would be like later in the season.
Right,
because
so it's
their
summer.
Seasons are opposite.
Well, what September would be basically like April, I guess, down there, early spring, you know, type of stuff. Rob is listening, I'm sure, can tell us. But it's reversed, and so September is probably like March, I would guess, right?
Yeah, so you let's know? Just wait till about December when we're miserable.
That's
the
right.
Cold being here, and it's like, oh, we're going to go to Australia and watch them play the Rams, and it's going to be, you know, 90 degrees in Australia. So, like, yeah. That's how I'd do it.
The Rams.
I think that's the matchup. I'm pretty sure that's who it is.
Is it a Rams home game next? Because it would have to be, because we have 9 home games this year, right, with the AFC hosting the extra game this year.
I stopped trying to figure that out.
Well, yeah, there's only 1 preseason game, so 9, so that's 10. Very easy math. And then, so next year, the Rams, yeah, that's fine. We don't give up a game and go to Australia. I like that.
It's like Julian Edelman. What's 2 minus 70? What? You mean 70 minus 2?
Not a math guy.
Not a math guy, apparently. He's also aged like 40 years.
He did look old last night.
He has the good older guy look. Like he has a lot of salt and pepper. Like had the nice shoes on last night. Was showing about as much skin as Kayla Williams last night. By the way, that'll be a story if he keeps doing that. You know it's coming.
Oh, you got to wear your socks, right? That's the first thing the uniform cops notice are the socks.
Because I remember Tyreek Hill getting fined that way a couple of years back when he was with the Chiefs. His socks through his ankles, and after the game, he got fined. He's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then Caleb Williams did it last night. I don't know if they fine people in preseason.
Oh, I'm sure the NFL takes every. I mean, we're talking about a 10-game suspension for Rashee Rice, for God's sakes. I mean, they're going to use any type of opportunity they can get to go out there and find these guys to send a message, Dusty. That's what we do in the preseason. We're sending a message that your socks better be the right height or we're gonna fine you.
You got your wish with the Royals this weekend, Bob.
Yes, I did. The sweep, thank God. That was a big one. We needed to sweep the Chicago White Sox. And again, you got to keep those losing teams. Losing Texas is a losing team now, too. They're coming in here. They're behind you in the standings. Keep that sorry sack losing as well. That team always seemingly, if you're a Ranger fan, like the one person that out there that is a Ranger fan, our old boss, John, why? Like, that team is very frustrating. I would be out on that team. Like, they're just too much talent, always losing, not getting the job done. So you got another great opportunity with the Rangers rolling in. But that was a big weekend, man. Like, you needed to go out there and take care of business against the Chicago White Sox, and you did exactly that. There's not a lot to like say, oh my God, I'm taking this away from the weekend. You got the wins that you needed to get. You passed the Rangers in the standings. Still 4 back. Does anybody know the last time the Royals weren't 4 back in the wild card? Like, whether it's even more or less, do we have a date on that? Because I feel like I'm looking at the standings every day, and it's at number 4 in the games behind column, and I feel like they've been there quite honestly, since before the Chiefs may have gotten to St. Joe. I feel like they've been 4 games behind at that wild card standing. But you did what you needed to do. You swept the Chicago White Sox. You left them for dead. And basically, you didn't give them any life. And so I thought it was a great weekend for the Royals. Did everything you needed to accomplish.
Right. You leapfrog Texas by a game and a half. You play them for 4. So you can,
that's right.
You can essentially
eliminate them.
Let them get out. And then it would just be you, the Guardians. If you don't look now, you can. The whole wild card in the AL is completely up for grabs. I mean, Boston and Seattle literally have a half-game lead over the Yankees. Mm-hmm. The Yankees have a 4-game lead over the Royals. The Cleveland Guardians are a half-game above the Royals. You'll play them, I think, in like 2 weeks or so in Kansas City, or maybe it's in Cleveland. Either way, it doesn't matter. You play Texas for 4 as that series starts today. But, you know, you're a half-game behind Cleveland, who's 3.5 behind the Yankees, who's 4 games behind the Mariners and 4 games behind the Red Sox. So they're 4 games, everybody above them. Now you're kind of in that world where, like, if you keep winning and these teams above you keep losing, you might leapfrog 2 teams in one day.
Yeah, you have that opportunity. But now, look, hey, playoff discussions are real. You got back over 500. Now you got to stay there, right? Again, as we keep talking about, don't give it back. And I thought that was the most important thing of the weekend for the Royals, is that they didn't give it back. And look, even yesterday, they're down 2-0 late in that ballgame, and they continued to fight. Say what you want about Jonathan India. He's been playing great lately. He said, I think Spector tweeted this out yesterday, 3 or 4 big moments in the last couple of weeks for Jonathan India with those big home runs that he's been hitting. And so, you know, we criticize lineups all the time as sports fans. Give Q a lot of credit for moving Jonathan India down to that lineup, and also give Jonathan India a lot of credit for performing better as he was moved down in that lineup. I've never been one of those, oh, move the guy down in the lineup. You're still going up there and you're still facing, you know, hitter or the same pitcher and whatnot. But sometimes for the psyche, it's good, man. And baseball is such a mental game that just taking maybe that leadoff pressure off of Jonathan India, going, I got to get on because Bobby's behind me. Maybe that takes that pressure off of him and puts him a little bit, you know, later in the lineup and takes the stress off of him, because, you know, Yaz has been a pretty good leadoff guy for this guy so far since they got him over here from the San Francisco Giants. So I like everything that's going on right now with this ball club. It was a lot of fun over the weekend to see this team win and see the crowd excited about this team winning too.
Royals this week against Texas, they throw out Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, Noah Cameron, and then Thursday's game at 1 o'clock is still undecided. But should be a good game out there Thursday. Going to be like 82 degrees.
Nice weather.
Hopefully that humidity will kind of wipe itself out. But the Royals now with a 17% chance to make the postseason. I think like a week ago it was like 11 or 12. So yeah, a very important weekend. They get
not quite 40, but it's up there, right?
Yeah. No, they're 63-61. Took care of business. Saturday, you went out there and chaperoned, right?
Yeah,
so you got to have the whole Ty Myers concert.
Yeah, not my cup of tea. I'll just say
that. But
it
was like everyone your daughter's age, from what I heard.
Oh, my God. Like every Johnson County high school kid was out there, I'm sure. You know, like it was bizarre. I mean, I ran into Spectre at the game and we were kind of talking about it. Like if you wanted to rob Johnson County on Saturday night, you've had fair game.
Or TP their houses.
Yeah. I talked to Fred on Friday, by the way, about that, my neighbor. Oh, yeah? He goes, I heard you were saying I was mad on the air. I go, well, it's a little theater there, Fred. I don't know how. He goes, no, I'm not mad at all. He goes, if your kids are getting TP'd, they're kind of losers.
And back.
Oh my God.
Thanks, Fred.
Appreciate
kids are a bunch of geeks.
Yeah, exactly.
In so many words, he's a very eloquent man. He didn't say losers, but that was kind of the gist of the whole thing. It's like they're running with the right people if they're getting toilet papered and whatnot, you know, before the school year starts. But I've never seen so many high school kids at this concert. I don't know who Ty Myers is. I think the kids liked it, and that's all that matters. You know, you're chaperoning a double date half the time. I'm gone. I disappeared. I didn't want to be seen. And then they're texting, where are you? We wanted to hang out. And I'm like, which do you want? Do you want me there? Or do you not want me there? You
know, some Dippin' Dots, Dad.
Yeah, there wasn't any of that though. No, I didn't, you know, they got their own food. They took care of business. I think the boys bought for the girls. It was so funny. The girls got dressed up like they were going to a concert. The boys dressed for a baseball game.
Hell yeah.
Every boy out there is in their Bobby Witt jerseys or whatever jerseys, and every girl out there has got their, oh yeah, the thigh high shorts.
Oh, yeah.
And every girl's out there in their boots. And I saw one poor girl, she took her boots off about halfway through the game, walking around with socks on around the stadium. Like, you got to burn those socks before you even leave the K, right?
Yeah.
Where else would you rather walk with socks? What could be dirtier than a stadium? Like a Port-a-John or a truck stop? I mean, nasty.
Worlds of fun.
Worlds of fun and socks.
A good one.
Yeah, and have puke everywhere.
Is that a syringe? How's that doing here?
Don't bring those socks home, lady. You know, just throw them in the garbage at Kauffman Stadium before you walk out the door. But I like that they're doing concerts. It brings a whole new element, if you will, to the game, because I guarantee you on Saturday night with the heat and humidity and the White Sox being on the schedule, probably wouldn't have been a huge crowd. But because of that concert, it was a huge crowd. It was a great atmosphere, and they did a really good job, you know, with that. And I think the kids who like Ty Myers love the concert. Old people like me sat in the back, got out of there, and left when we were supposed to. So.
And it was what, Teachers Night at the K on Saturday?
Yeah, they honored some of the teachers out there. Yeah, some of them threw out the first pitch and whatnot. That was kind of cool.
Nice.
Somebody was booing, too, though, when the teachers were throwing. I did hear a smattering of boos. Mm. Like, they announced the Kansas teacher here booed, and then they announced Missouri teacher here boos. Like, grow up.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What is going
but
on? That,
but that's this town, right?
Those are the guys that were all in detention their whole life.
Yeah.
I've always hated teachers. No, I think they've always hated you, Scott.
Yeah. What are you doing now there, Bill? BBL stinky.
I didn't use any of that in the classroom.
Remember they told me we couldn't use our phone as a calculator?
Sweet, dude. Go buy a TS-3000 and suck it. You know, I don't know.
Do we still have the, I think my kids would have to buy a graphic calculator. I'm like, are we still doing that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
TI-81 is what I had.
Yeah, we had, I've, I don't
84,
know.
I think is what I had.
Oh, so that they didn't make many in between.
No. Technology stayed
in 20-some years, we went from an 81 to an 84.
And I really don't know how they could have got any more advanced on the calculators. I mean, they even put video games on the calculators at some point. Speaking of video games, this guy's putting up video game type numbers, but everybody's going to be mad at me with my take on the other side. Of course. We're talking Caglione. Look at the shirt on the live stream here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
High in the air, well hit to center. Kersey's back on the warning track. To the wall, he leaps up, and it's gone. It's four bags for Cags, and the score's tied at one in the first.
That is the audio of the Omaha Storm Chase.
5-2 Saints in the third. Bradley deals home. Caglione rips a fly ball to right field, and that'll be played on one hop off the right field wall. Caglione headed for second. Melendez scores, and it's 5-3 here in the third.
So that audio
that lineup last night was basically the Royals opening day lineup. Did you see the lineup in Omaha last night? Oh, my God. Because you said who with Melendez, Canna. I mean, so many people that you know.
But the kids raking in AAA.
Good.
And that's what you want to see. I think he's got like 10 hits and 18 at bats or something like that. A couple of doubles. He's got a couple of home runs. He's running the bases well. He seems to be healthy, seems to be back in the swing of things. And it is now kind of shifted into the conversation of there are two sides here. I believe after this weekend and evaluating what people's responses were and talking to some guys around the pool. Hey, Dusty. Hey, guy. Do you think we'll see Cags again this year? And I said, well, I mean, I think I would like to because I'm on the side of obviously fanboy. I will lean into that. I understand that. People, you know that. But also, I'm also on the side of what else can he possibly do in AAA? He's just absolutely destroying that competition. You see the lineup of what he was before he left and got to the pros. He was hitting 320, six homers, 10 RBIs, and that was only 12 games. And then there's the other side of it, which – manager Cotrero was interviewed this weekend and had this to say about when or if we see Cags.
He's going to continue to play there. You know, the team dynamic here has changed since he got hurt. There's, you know, he's going to have to keep playing, and when something opens up, he's certainly in consideration to come back. Great. Yeah, he's been running the base as well. I think he's scheduled to play first base tonight. So just getting him exposed to the all game situations.
So that, I believe, was Saturday night, and that's Annie Rodgers asking the hard-hitting questions, as she always does. Well done to Annie Rodgers every year. Vern will join us in about 2 hours here on Fesco and Dusty, as he does every Monday at 8:20. But the conversation I think we can have is it's not just Cotrero's move here. This is coming from JJ. And he's a general manager, and then that trickles down to Cotrero, and they're having this conversation of Caglione. And I've seen... And Mac made a good point this morning, is Caglione is basically the rookie quarterback he drafted in the first 3 weeks of the season. He's thrown two touchdowns, five interceptions, and he looks like maybe he's up a little early or he's not figuring it out. And the thing is that he's in AAA on the rehab assignment. And then you hear the comments from Q, well, the team chemistry's changed and something's going to have to open up if he's going to come back up here. I think it's more than that. I think what they're doing is trying to really, really, and I don't think he's an arrogant individual. I don't think that anybody sees that sort of vibe. But I think what they think is maybe they did kind of expedite a little early. Maybe he was kind of shocked in the big leagues, and now he's got to be knocked down a few pegs, even though he might be good enough to play right now in the big leagues. It's more so like, we're going to basically break you spiritually and mentally until like you just look past and be like, I don't ever want to go there again. And use that drive in the big leagues. Now, also, Yastrzemski and Frazier, these guys have been great additions. I mean, I think Adam Frazier's hitting like 329 in the big leagues right now. And Yastrzemski's been pretty good in the leadoff spot. He's been pretty good at glove and arm in right field. We saw the diving play he missed the other day. Got up, threw a hose to India. India, hose to home, tag out, nobody hurt. So that's there. They're 63-61. They're four games out of the wild card. They're a half game behind Cleveland. And I just don't know how much more he can prove in AAA because clearly that competition is not good enough for him. And the numbers would insist that. He's got 10 hits and about 17 at-bats in AAA, tons of extra bases, tons of power still. And the fact that the fan base is almost completely 180'd on him, where it's like, I don't want to see him back up here so he can go 10 for 100 and hit two home runs and be a bust. Why do we have that mentality? And I think what they're doing as an organization is they're trying to numb him a little bit. They're trying to be like, hey, dude, like maybe it was on us, but we want to get to the point where like you just absolutely, there's no other option. We have to bring you up. I think we're already there from the production that we've seen that he's done in this rehab start, but time will tell what happens. And like you hear Q say there, something's going to have to open up.
Well, and that's where I am with Jack Caglione. He doesn't deserve to be at the big league level at this point in time. We've seen him at the big league level. He did not perform at the big league level, and you're in a different spot. That was the key for me in Q's comments there. We're in a different spot than we were when Jack Caglione originally got hurt. Yeah, we're two games over 500, and we're competing for a playoff spot. Putting Jack Caglione in your lineup right now makes you a worse team than where you are at this point in time. And that's because of Yaz and Frazier. If they weren't playing good, maybe we could have that conversation. But this is a team right now that has its eyes set on getting into the postseason. Jack Caglione doesn't make you a better team right now, doesn't give you that opportunity to get to the postseason when you have two veteran bats like Yaz and Frazier and even Yaz's defense, you know, out there in the outfield right now. If you're serious about making it to the postseason, you don't see Jack Caglione for the rest of the season, because I do not believe he's one of your five best outfielders right now. And I do not believe he deserves to play over anybody that's in this outfield right now, because as Q did say, the dynamic of this team has changed drastically. Had this team lost 2 out of 3 to the White Sox and, you know, we're 6, 7, 8 games back of the wild card, I would say, yeah, bring him up. Let him get that big league experience, because he is doing a nice job down there in AAA. But where this team is right now, you can't afford to have a hole in your lineup. And Jack Caglione is a major league hole right now in that lineup when you have veteran guys producing. And so you're in a playoff push right now. Jack Caglione, in my opinion, does not make you better, does not help you get to the postseason, does not make your roster better. I think, in fact, if you bring him up to this roster right now, it weakens your roster and hurts your chances at making the postseason. So as far as I'm concerned, where this team is right now, it's full speed ahead. Let the veterans do the job. That's why you went out there. That's why you got him, to give you that boost. They're giving you that boost. You take Yaz or Frazier out of the lineup right now, that could be deflating to the clubhouse too, because they're feeling it right now. They're doing good things. They're having fun. They're winning games. They're 2 back over .500. They're 4 back. They got the Rangers coming in. They're feeling good right now. And a lot of it is those moves that were made. Brilliant moves by JJ and company to go out there and get Yaz and Frazier and bring them back. They didn't move the needle, but boy, they fixed this lineup and they made it that much better from a veteran standpoint.
I think he's going to get called up when they expand rosters in September, because you're able to do that.
Sure.
And I think that, and I know I can hear Vern right now when I ask him the question, because Vern's going to say, well, if he gets called up, he needs to play every day, because that's what they want to do with these guys. But that, I think that narrative is different now, where like now you could say, bring him up and let him be on the bench. And if you need a pinch hit player, you can also substitute him out there in left or right field or move things around. Because I do think, even if you haven't seen it, I think he gives you a better bat option off the bench than a John Rave or a Tyler Tolbert. Now, Tolbert can run bases.
Tolbert's got speed.
So yeah, that's going to be an advantage. But, I mean, tie game, seventh inning, you want to bring in a pinch hitter for, you know, have Cags come up there because X player's up that doesn't really give you a chance to really, like, maybe give you a chance to hit a home run. Maybe that can be your move. Maybe you don't necessarily have to play him every day, but you could use him kind of the way they use John Rave right now. And I think he gives you a little bit more pop and a little bit more juice in that role than maybe necessarily playing every day in right or DHing or playing at first base. But, you know, something like happens to Vinny Pasquantino the other day where he has heat exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, what do we do now? It's like, well, Cags on the bench, you can put him at first, and he gets his bat in there. And it's one of those things where it's like, we don't need you to play every day. We don't need you to be this player right now. Just go be a component into the lineup. And, you know, maybe you get that DH, maybe you get that sort of, you know, off the bench surge where it's like, hey, go up there, no pressure. Just all you have to do is try to get a hit or try to hit one out of here. And then, you know, we'll move on to the next game. Instead of every day you're playing right field, you're going to be our superstar, you're going to be there. But the fact that people think that he's a 4A player, that he's this bust and all this sort of stuff, to me is just ludicrous.
Yeah, but I think time and circumstance dictate everything. Like, I, you know where I was. I didn't want the guy to come up to the big league level at all this season. I didn't think he was quite ready. I thought one more full year in the minor leagues would have been perfect. But circumstance and time dictated that he needed to come up to the big league level. And he did. There was nobody getting the job done. There was nobody else to bring up. It was before moves were being able to be made. It was early in the season. Bring him up to the big league level. We saw what happened at the big league level. Circumstance and time now, though, tells me this is a team that's 2 over .500, legitimate shot now to get into the postseason, which is what we all want this team to do. I don't think Jack Caglione has earned at-bats in pressure situations. The only way that I'm letting him play at the big league level right now is in meaningless games or meaningless at-bats, or you're up 10-0, you know, in the seventh inning and you want to put him in late for a couple of innings to get some experience right now, because I can't look at the other 25 guys inside that locker room and tell them, sorry, Yaz isn't playing today or Frazier isn't playing today because we got to get this kid at-bats. Yaz and Frazier are making this thing work right now, and I don't want to mess with anything. Baseball is very, very superstitious, and you don't want to change a damn thing. Like, guys don't even want to change their socks and underwear and all that kind of stuff. We all know how superstitious baseball is, and so I look at it right now, and this is as well as they've played all season long. I don't want to mess with a damn thing right now. And like, I just keep going back to that comment by Q. I think that's one of the best comments that we've heard. There really is no room right now for this guy up here. He's going to have to earn his way back, basically. And you earn your way back by playing well, but you also earn your way back by somebody failing at the big league level. And there's nobody failing right now at the big league level in the outfield where we need to bring this guy back up. I love the dynamic of this team right now.
Adam Frazier, slash line 329, 354, 474, 827. That's strikeout, or that's batting average, OBP, slug, and OPS. 190, 308, 500, 808. That's Mike Yastrzemski. So the bat's really not there for Yastrzemski, but the defense is there, which is why I think you could start Cags like they did in right field, and then you could move in Yastrzemski later in the innings when the, you know, but then again, you know, I don't know. The power.
He's had a couple of big bops already for this ball club,
he's
right?
Yeah, he's had a couple. I mean, he's got three home runs on the year, and I think we've seen all three of them in Kansas City.
We have. Yeah.
And of course, those are American League numbers, so you have seen all those. But yeah, he's 42 of 52 of at bats and plate appearances. He's got eight hits. Three of them are home runs, four of them are doubles. So he's hitting extra bases, but still only hitting 190, slashing 308, 500.
A lot of it's for his defense, though, too. Correct. Why you put him out there, because you're not going to win a lot of games, you know, in the postseason by scoring a lot of runs. Hell, the Royals aren't scoring a lot of runs this year, so it's going to be even more dissipated when it comes to the postseason from a run standpoint. So you surround your team, as we saw in 14 and 15. You go out there and you put your best defensive team out there, and it really does give you an opportunity to win a lot of baseball games. And so I think Yaz is that much more superior right now, obviously, than where Cags is. I just don't know at this point in time where this team is, what Jack Caglione adds that this team doesn't have right now. Had this been, you know, a different circumstance and they're 10 games under 500, abso-freaking-lutely bring them up here. But where we are right now, challenging for the postseason, I got to keep my veteran guys in there.
And we can keep talking about the Royals later on today as they play today against the Rangers. Vern's on deck show at 5:30. Royals play at 6:40 on a Monday night versus those Texas Rangers, but the NFLPA, messy situation with the Rashee Rice stuff.
10 games over the weekend they were talking about suspending this guy?
That's why it's going to September 30th.
That's why it's going to September 30th. And 10 games we're talking about suspending Rashee Rice? For
Should
what?
Should be an entire season.
For what? I mean, if we're going to continue to look at past precedences and look at what this league has done, a 10-game suspension, a double-digit suspension, is something unheard of and really, quite honestly, not fitting of what was done by Rashee Rice. Leonard Little killed a person, for God's sakes, that was playing in the NFL. And I know that's a generation ago, but still, I mean, 10 games, 12 games, whatever the suspension is that the league was potentially talking about for Rashee Rice is absolutely insanity. And it sounds like to me that they're trying to like send a message or something and make an example out of Rashee Rice. I don't think that's what punishments need to be used for, to try to make an example out of somebody. You do the punishment that fits the crime, and a double-digit game suspension on this is blasphemy to me. It's unbelievable. I'm stunned that they were talking about that many games of being suspended.
Goes right where we thought it would be. I think they're going to give him an 8-game suspension. I think the Chiefs are going to challenge it. I think it's going to be 6. I think that's what we're going to be at.
I mean, I'm shocked that we're talking about such a long suspension for Rashee Rice. Stunned that we're talking about a long suspension like that for Rashee Rice.
I mean, we've seen domestic violent cases get 4 games.
Yes.
We've seen DUI cases get 3 games.
Right.
We multiple offender in the DUI case in Jordan Addison, 3 games.
And be honest with you, DUIs, man, that's putting, I mean, I know Rashee Rice put some other people's lives at risk, but you're driving around drunk. How many more people are you putting at risk on the roads when you're driving around drunk? So if you're going to give a drunk driver 4 games, then Rashee Rice should get 4 games.
He left the scene.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it. It was on camera, another big part.
Well,
we talk about the bottom
too,
line
the
in the
camera,
NFL.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was on film, broad daylight. There are huge differences. They are completely different cases. Also, I've been guilty of what you guys both did. Well, this happened, and this was way worse. That should have been suspended more too, right? Like,
right.
We
but
want
it
the
wasn't.
NFL, but they can change, right? We don't want to be like, well, this guy killed someone and wasn't suspended. Well, that's a problem. The NFL should have suspended them. This guy domestically abused someone, whatever it was. Who's only spent 6 games. Yeah, it should have been 16. Should have been 2 seasons. Like,
and
there should be more. I'm not saying that this is correct. I'm just saying I don't think that's good
this
logic
is just
either.
The timing of product and placement.
Yeah.
But also, too, in punishments, and we'll just use that term, whether it's legally.
Yeah.
We always follow past precedents. I mean, you see all the time. Okay, well, this guy did this, and so he got this. You know, I would imagine, and I'm not a judge, but I would imagine if anybody knows a judge or you are a judge or you're a lawyer, I imagine when they're giving sentencing for things, they look at what similar cases have been
for
sentenced,
sure.
And they probably go off of that. So while you're not wrong at all by this should have been, it wasn't. And so you've set this past precedent before, I would think you've got to start following that. And then if you want to change the rules, then you have the opportunity to do so in the next collective bargaining agreement and kind of lay out a standard and practices at least a formula for how you're going to punish guys in the NFL for doing things. I know there's so many different things out there. We don't have a blanket for all of it, but you can kind of come up with driving offenses, drug offenses, domestic violence offenses.
For sure.
And let's get some standardized punishments across the board so everybody kind of knows and we're not just guessing willy-nilly at this kind of stuff, because I don't think that's fair to anybody involved.
Yeah, they need to make it like kind of how they have like class one misdemeanor, class two, class one felony, class two, like... What, there's 3 different degrees, maybe 4 different degrees of murder, right? There's like first degree, second degree, third degree. And, you know, if this is in a certain category, it gets these amount of games. If it's in this sort of category, it's this amount of games. But I think they're going to give him an 8-game suspension. I really do.
I mean, I'm stunned. And I don't think you're necessarily wrong about it. I'm just shocked that
we're at
this
point. Because now the NFL can be like, it's not 10.
Right.
It's 8. And then the Chiefs are like, well, let's do 6. And then all of a sudden, he plays the first 5 weeks of the season. Then he misses 6. So he's going to miss weeks 7, 8, bye week at 9. Does that count as a suspension day? So that doesn't count. So then you get 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. He's back week 15.
But see, that's the thing. We got to get this known fast because then it trickles into the postseason, guys.
Oh, yeah. And I said that on Friday it was going to happen that way. But you can also look at it as in a way where not everything is doom and gloom. Where it's like, we get him for the first 5 games, then he misses 6 or 7 or 8 games, and then right when the playoffs start to ramp up, here comes your wide receiver one who's healthy and fresh and everything on the table.
But let's say this judge does rule in favor of the NFL, and they do give him a double-digit suspension, and it's week 5 games are already in. I mean, then the appeals process, you got to expedite that like in a day to see what's going to happen. Otherwise, we are going to fall into the playoffs if it's that many games. I don't think ultimately at the end of the day it will be double digits, because I do think there will be negotiations and appeals and all that kind of stuff. But if they don't get this thing moving and they end up giving him this huge suspension and it does go into the postseason, oh my God, what are we doing here? Yeah. Does that kind of punishment fit the crime? I don't know the answer to that question. Immediately on the surface, I would say no, it doesn't. All the stuff that he's done legally to try to rectify this and apologize and make good for all of this, and then the league's going to kind of come in and give you a 12-game suspension, 10-game suspension. I don't know. Does that fit the crime? Not based on what this league has done before, and that's all we can go on.
No, NFLPA is a huge part of this, too. I mean, the NFLPA being in a complete mess, them not having a leader to come help out Rashee Rice and come help out the Chiefs it's a massive part of this. Field Yates was on this way early, and he's correct. I mean, he was calling it was going to be double digits a few weeks ago, and I was like, you're full of it. But yeah, I mean, the NFLPA is why they're needed, because representation here would be huge for Rashee Rice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who's running that thing? Who's helping Rashee Rice on that side of things from a players association standpoint? Because haven't they gone through like 3 directors in the last week?
Yes, because they're spending money at strip clubs and doing a bunch of BS.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's a fair point. There's like no safeguard in place for Rashee Rice. There's nobody to help this guy out. There's nobody to say his side of the story at this point in time. And I will plead ignorance on this. Do the Chiefs have an option? Like, can Brett go in there and Mark and Clark and sit down and have these meetings? Or does Andy go in and say, like, if Andy walks in the room and goes, hey, I got this. You know, do we give him a little bit less of a suspension because we know he's going back to an adult as opposed to Mike McDaniel or somebody like that?
Well, that's the thing. This happened almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I don't know if this should matter either, but There hasn't been any a peep since.
No, it should matter. Absolutely
there's
should matter.
There's been no other crime. There's been he's stayed out of trouble.
Right.
If there like was, you said, he's rectified this.
Yeah, if there were other instances where he did it again or got in trouble again and it was multiple times and stuff, that's a different conversation.
Yes.
He made the mistake and he's done everything to try to rectify it. I just think a double-digit suspension is way too much for this situation.
Suspension is not what they have to worry about in Cincinnati. A trade is what they might have to worry about. Plus, we can get into most hated players as well here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty. Seems like today is the last real day of the god-awful heat. And get some nice weather this week.
After mid-September, we'll probably heat back
Let's
up,
do
you
it.
Know.
Let's do it.
Right as fall is here. If we're 14, 13 days now, I believe, away from September. Mm. 44 Ooh. Days away from Halloween, Mac.
Mm. Let's go. Wow. Jeez,
I'm gonna, for as long as we work together, yes. I'm going to bring that up because I think for you, it's the biggest eye-opener of how fast time goes.
It's crazy, man.
Before you know it, it'll be the holidays. Oh, no. Well, it's almost Halloween again.
Again.
Just go to Hy-Vee, dude. They have like all their holiday aisles.
Yep. Unreal.
Everything's there.
Everything's
decorations,
out.
Towels for your kitchen that say, you know, weird Halloween stuff. Like, Kiss the Spooky Cook or
Ooh,
whatever it is,
nice.
Something like that. They
I
got
like
the candy,
that.
The skeletons, all that sort of stuff. So you can get a head start. People yesterday at the pool were asking the kids, what do you want to be for Halloween
this year?
Oh,
mine are already done. It's already done, decided. The whole thing has
what
been planned.
Mean?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I forget what it was. One of those things in one ear and out the other. My oldest daughter's like, well, I'm going to need three different costumes because Halloween's on a Friday this year, so there's going to be at least three parties. I'm like,
she in college? That's awesome. Let's go, dude. Starting early.
Oh, my God. Is that a serious text at the top?
Let me see here. Oh, I hope not. 573,
I hope
please.
I hope that's sarcasm. You want to read it for Bob?
573, we've given up over 50 points so far in the preseason. Any concerns?
That's not serious, right?
So we Halloween towels at Hy-Vee, right? Okay, and then the Halloween candy is out. You're a nerds clusters guy, right, Mac?
Love the nerds
big
clusters.
Time.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, of course.
Time.
Yeah, he's a nerds cluster guy. Are you a nerd cluster guy?
I can't. You know how you are with chocolate and peanut butter?
Oh, the nerds are like that for you?
I mean, I
really?
Would eat them until like my jaw is just completely rotted away. I mean, I won't stop.
I don't know what it is, man.
I miss the old boxes of nerds that had the two on each side,
better.
And you can mix them together and all that. But it's nostalgia, though. You know, that's what it is. You miss the old stuff when you were a kid.
Nerd, like rope, but I didn't know there was THC in it, so I just sat in my room for like 2 hours. I was just eating it. I was like, this is really good.
That's great.
I was like, this is really good. Oh, it's
6 months later, he's still coming exactly. down from the nerd's rope. I mean, my God.
Yeah, 50 milligrams.
Whoa.
I didn't move. I was like, I thought this was just candy, and like everybody else is going, did he eat the whole thing?
He ate the whole rope? You were only supposed to eat a bite of that That's thing. Why'd awesome. You eat the whole rope?
Grab your stupid rope.
I've been pounded this week.
Dude, I mean, I just sat there, and I was just like, what are you watching? It's just the Roku City.
You're why back in our day, it was the color bars. Like, you're watching the color bars, man. Like, you went from the national anthem right to the color bars, and you've been here for 6 hours. Yeah, but they're so beautiful.
I mean, dude, I messed up.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Before we get into Trey Hendrickson real fast, did your guy win Coach of the Year last night down there in Chicago? Woo! Has that been decided? Like Ben Johnson won Coach of the Year last night, right, with a 35-0 preseason win, and Sean McDermott's on the hot seat?
Yeah, because there's concerns in Buffalo about their
huge
defense.
Huge concerns in Buffalo. They played a base shell defense in that game
that's
on Saturday
what it was.
Or Sunday or whatever that was.
They have a base shell.
Yeah. I mean, they were doing nothing out there. Like, people who are concerned over preseason football games on teams like the Bills and the Chiefs and the I wouldn't say the Bengals because they're a mess, but like the Bills and the Chiefs.
Ravens,
Ravens, you know, maybe Rams, you throw into the Eagles
obviously,
all, you know. You throw those teams into the mix and you're upset about the preseason, don't be. You shouldn't be. Now, if you are a team like the Cincinnati Bengals that we'll get to, or a team like the Dolphins that we'll probably get to at some point or whatever, then you probably should be concerned about the preseason because there are these big overriding stories that are actually bigger for the organization than what's taking place on the field. And not being able to avoid the off-the-field stories turns into not being able to play well on the field. I think that's where the Bengals and at least the Dolphins are at this point in time.
Caleb Williams, 5 for 6, 97 yards in that first drive.
Looked really good on that first drive.
Was great.
Found Cole Kmet. Found Luther Burden. Luther Burden looked
awesome.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens once the regular season starts.
Of course.
You know, jumping for preseason stats in anything, whether it be spring training baseball, preseason in football, preseason in basketball. I don't know what I'm clearly watching in this preseason. None of us do.
I agree.
None of us know.
Concerns with the Chiefs defense.
I didn't even watch the game. I watched more of the Bears game than I did the Chiefs game.
Has Chris Jones even played?
I got a text from somebody early on Friday that said, it's raining, it's turf, don't waste your time tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the game was on. But, I mean, it was not on my television.
It was on in between Kingdom episodes for us on Friday night.
Mine was on between Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, because every Friday is a marathon on the Food Network.
Yes, it is.
And then last night it was the Bears game switched over to the Great Food Truck Race.
Ooh.
That show is fantastic.
Who won? Okay.
Well, it's an ongoing series. So you get I know we're getting off topic here.
That's
but
fine.
So the food truck race Sunday nights starts at, I believe, 7's the week before's episode, and 8's the new episode.
Okay.
And it's, you know, starts off with like 7 different food trucks, and there's some sort of like hook, right? Like there's a celebrity chef that comes in. Like last night, this guy was, you know, he made barbecue, and they had to incorporate pulled pork into their food. Some place was like, some place does like egg rolls, another place does smash burgers, another place does
pork smash burgers.
Dude. So what they did they incorporated the pork into the burger patty, smashed it down, and made a pulled pork smash burger.
Yes.
Okay.
So the egg roll place made pulled pork spring rolls. And then this other place did like pulled pork sliders. So they did like Philly cheesesteaks. Mm-hmm. But what they did is they did sliders with like pulled pork, coleslaw, and like a sauce on the open face. So, like, you're in, and then they go by sales, and whoever has the lowest amount of sales goes home. And then they go to the next episode.
Okay.
So it's a really interesting show.
That. Yeah, that is kind of cool.
It's not Guy Fieri, so you can actually see somebody else.
Somebody else is on there. Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. I was watching Molly Ye the other day on the Food Network, and she made Reuben egg rolls.
Fantastic. They used to have McClancy's back in the day. They were
unbelievable. They're so good. The corned beef quesadilla up at the Landing in Liberty, phenomenal. And these Reuben egg rolls looked absolutely awesome. It was corned beef. It was her homemade slaw and then dipped it in hot, like spicy, Chinese mustard, you know, that you get at Chinese restaurants. For 2 seconds, lights you up a little bit. Like man, those look really, really good.
Clancy's in Blue Springs used to have them. They were one of the hottest items on the menu.
How could they not be?
And you'd get it with a side of Russian dressing, like you get the Landing. Right, like that kind of. Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
So most hated player around the league for each team, the Chiefs is Josh Allen.
I don't think that's the case at all.
Gotta be Burrow, right?
I think it's either Burrow or Elway because they did of all time.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is on there 5 times.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is on everybody's list.
What the hell do they do to the Cowboys?
It says every NFL fan base is most hated player, and it's all time, and the Bears hate Aaron Rodgers, and Buffalo and Denver hate Patrick Mahomes, you know, obviously. And I think there's somebody else out there that probably hates Patrick Mahomes as well.
Oh, the Packers hate the Cowboys because of the Dez Bryant catch. Mm. That's why.
Well, Packers Cowboys though
it's been a
Cowboys. You just say Jerry Jones.
Yeah, it really.
Who
should.
Openly admitted that he does this on purpose every year? Finally.
Well, that's like the Browns. Their most hated player is Deshaun Watson.
Makes sense. Yeah. Should just say ownership.
Yeah, it really but should.
Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah, the Chargers hate Patrick Mahomes as well. But I don't think Josh Allen, I don't hate Josh Allen. I think we've got to talk through this, guys, right? Haven't we? Like, we like Josh Allen.
We like him, yeah.
We're never going to root for Josh Allen, but I don't hate Josh Allen. I think we hate Joe Burrow, and I think John Elway. Those are the first two names that come to my mind when we talk about most hated player in Kansas City, right? Am I forgetting anybody?
Why are the Ravens' most hated player in franchise history Bernard Pollard?
Bernard Pollard?
Because he broke Tom Brady's leg, and maybe there was a trickle-down effect to that.
From the Ravens hating him?
I don't know. But he played for the Ravens, too.
But shouldn't the Ravens be Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Like,
or Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Or Roethlisberger.
Or Roethlisberger. There's a ton of good options.
Bernard Pollard? He saw this list. What the hell did I do to the Ravens?
But he played for the Ravens. Like,
it's weird.
Did he do something there that I'm forgetting about?
I mean, I know what's his face? Not Brandon Flowers, but the other guy we had at the same time, the other corner.
Brandon Carr.
He played for the Ravens,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he did. So. You're right. What the hell did Bernard Pollard do that the Ravens saved him? That's what I'm trying to figure.
And then I love how the graphic is just Mahomes.
Yeah.
And he's on there one time.
No, he's not. He's on there Buffalo. Oh, Denver. Buffalo, he's yeah. on there with San Diego. He's not on there with the Raiders, which is Travis Kelce.
It should be Travis Kelce. It should be Andy Reid. Yeah. And then the Rams franchise of all time hates Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy G.
That's the Rams' most hated franchise player, according
to second string quarterback right now.
What is it? All Sports Culture.
Yeah.
Bernard Pollard.
Never heard of him.
I got to know why Bernard Pollard is the number one hated Raven yeah. of all time. Did he stink when he played there? Did he give up a big play?
He still plays there. I don't know. It's weird.
Bernard Pollard hasn't played in a decade.
Sorry, I was talking to Jimmy G. No, oh, Bernard Pollard. Oh, Garoppolo. Yeah, my fault.
Yeah, Garoppolo, did he beat the Rams when he was with the 49ers to get to the Super Bowl or something?
I know he beat Rodgers 1 year.
Yep.
The first year they played the Chiefs, right? Is that right?
I believe so. Yes. They kicked their ass.
Yeah, in Green Bay.
In Green Bay.
Yeah, because everyone's like, Rodgers can't win in the playoffs anymore. Let's go look at his playoff numbers.
Yep.
He's under 500 in the playoffs. Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah. It's like 11 and 12. Yeah. Or 10 and 11.
10 and 12, 10 and 11, something in that range. Yeah.
I'm surprised Jamar Chase isn't the Chiefs most. Is he probably
that's
up there?
Up there.
Yeah.
That's
Jamar
a good one.
Chase is a good one. Yeah.
I do not like him.
Let's go to the text line. Jamar Chase. It's Joe and Tom. Seriously, F Josh Allen. Biggest crybaby since Philip Riva. Jamar Chase, Tom Brady. I hate Josh Allen. Looks like a D face.
I think the reason we don't hate Josh Allen though is because we beat him every time. Like if he was beating us, he'd absolutely
100%.
That's why I hate Joe Burrow yes. more than Josh Allen, because he beat us one time.
And he did it looking cool.
Yeah, he did.
He always looks pretty cool. Yeah.
Bernard Pollard was a violent player who beat the Patriots in the playoffs with forced fumbles. He was also the one that hit Brady. Yeah, but what did he do to the Ravens?
Yeah. Why did the Ravens hate him?
I know. Because he created the rule that you couldn't hit the quarterback if you were on the ground.
Yeah, he's the reason for Matt Castle. So, I mean,
did he like say he was going to sign there and then just like pull the chair out?
No,
like,
I don't know, but he was there for a long time.
That's just a weird misprint. Dove. Don't forget, football draft experience at Arrowhead Stadium is August 19th.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Don't look at your calendar, but that's tomorrow. It's from 6 to 10 p.m. with special guest Field Yates of ESPN. It's in the Hall of Honor. You can get tickets at GEHAfield@arrowhead.com. Two different packages of tickets are being sold, a Q&A happy hour ticket from 6 to 8, access to game day fair, two beer tickets, and a Q&A happy hour with Field Yates. Or you can get the suite package of fantasy teams of 12 to 16, full night access to game day fair, three beer tickets, a Q&A with Field Yates as well. And then they move to their assigned suites to complete your fantasy football draft. Coming up on the other side, a very successful weekend for those boys in blues we discuss. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.